Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. All right, our group ride has a guy on it this week. We welcomed Ariel. Ariel, welcome.
Yo. Yay. Hey, how's it going? Hey.
Now, why are we letting a guy ride with us, Khadija?
Because I was on his crew for Ultraman Florida, and it was an out of this world experience. It was like nothing I've ever experienced. I have so much respect for the entire crew and this man right here. I've at 30 miles down the run, he started running faster. It was insane.
Wow.
It was absolutely insane. I only ran 13 miles and I thought I was going to die.
So Sarah thought it'd be really fun to get both their perspectives. And we were debating whether or not we were going to like put one of them off the air and then let them talk about the other person.
But I feel like we're... breakout rooms. Breakout rooms on Zoom.
That's a good one.
That feels like technologically advanced for us. I don't think we could handle it. So we also have Jocelyn back, though it was touch and go.
I missed you all. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was like different the last 2 weeks, different kind of illnesses. And then my daughter got the flu 2 days ago. So I feel like I'm starting to lose my voice. But the good thing is she was in bed by 7. So I was like, okay, I can get on and podcast if she like falls asleep. Otherwise she'd be like crying for mommy the whole time.
Oh man. So I feel like we have a packed schedule today because we have to catch up on all of Jocelyn's like gossip and conspiracy theories. And first, after the break, we're going to hear all about Ultraman.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the AminoCo Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all AminoCo products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's AminoCo, AminoCo.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, who wants to, I feel like, who should we start with? Should we start with the athlete or the crew?
Start with the athlete. Share your why. That was so important, Ariel.
Okay. Let me know when you start.
Oh, no, we're started. Oh, it's all live.
Okay.
I think for those who don't necessarily know what Ultraman is, can you kind of like describe what you did and then why?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. So I'm Ariel, age grouper athlete, right? I started triathlon in 2022. My background is I'm a retired special forces officer, right? Did 20 years in the military, 10 deployments, 4 Afghanistan, 1 Iraq, and then I worked out of South America in support of the global war on terrorism, right? That's kind of my spiel. did that for 20 years. And during those deployments, I lost a couple of guys, right? So that was drives my why. So in 2006, I was in a firefight. We lost a total of 3 Americans and 3 Afghans in 1 firefight. One of them was my mentor, which was Tomaholic. So that's what stemmed my why, right? So you lose someone who was a triathlete as well. So again, I had no clue about triathlete. I would see him on a bike with Vaseline and we're like, dude, what you got going on in your room in Afghanistan with some Vaseline, right? And some little shorts. So he would ride his bike.
Wait,
and then
why,
he would run up the mountain.
Why Vaseline? Like what was the...
Well, because if he had his Vaseline too, that was his, for when he cycles, you know what I mean? So he would have Vaseline next to his bike, but we don't get it. So, you know, as a guy, you're like, dude, what you got going on over there, right? Right. I have no clues. So I was on a dive team. So, you know, Army Special Forces, we're divers, you know, Navy SEALs are Navy, but there's a battle on who's the best swimmer. So I was on a dive team. So he was a fish, a dolphin in the water. So he could swim, bike, and run. But every morning he would wake up and run up this mountain in Afghanistan called Gecko. And we were staying in a palace, Mullah Omar's palace. So there's some history on who Mullah Omar is. We had took over his palace in Afghanistan. I would see him ride a bike and run, and I looked up to him. So in 2006, June 24, it was his time, right? So I continued on deploying. And in 2013, one of my soldiers lost a limb, so lost his leg and lost his arm, named Bobby Dove. I had to take his remains, his limbs, and put it on a helicopter to try to fly back. So I've had folks that, so I had one triathlete who didn't make it back, and then I had Bobby Dove, who I looked up to him as a young guy aspiring, and I'm like, he would never be able to walk his child down the aisle or hold his wife's hand because he no longer has that limb, right? So then I go, okay, so I get out. So I go, what is my why? So now my why is to carry the torch for those who no longer are not with us or can't do it, right? So I started volunteering and got into triathlon. So I deal with invisible wounds. In 2018, I was medically retired from Special Forces from the Army. Deal with traumatic brain injury, PTSD. Mm-hmm. With those invisible wounds that we call, you deal with suicide, right? Because you miss the kicking doors down. You know, you're trying to deal with civilian life, right? Dealing sure. with what it is to, you know, be a normal person. So got into cycling during the pandemic, and then I got bored. right? So I'm like, okay, I got cycling is cool, but there's no, right? There's, I can ride with a group, drop somebody on a Peloton, but there's nothing I get out of that, right? So that's where I got into triathlon, and it just changed my life. I would say triathlon saved my life. 100. I was in a dark place. And then I just started learning about pros like we have on here. Started learning about male pros, female pros. And I think one thing that I love about triathlon is that you give respect to women, you know, because sometimes in the military, you know, we don't see women and we don't view them as our peers or colleagues. You know what I mean? You look, it's different. But in the triathlon sport, you got some badass women, excuse my language, right? Who you see them and you're like, man, I look up to women in the course, because, you know, so it's a community. I learn about diversity, representation, Black Triathlete Association, so that's what made me love this sport. And so I got pretty good on it, right? I'm still learning triathlon, right? Got into Varlo, was able this year to, so I started in 2022.
Like, that was your first triathlon ever? Was like
my first triathlon was a 70.3 Ironman, was Augusta, right? Was horrible, right? But I finished it, right? So I learned that. And then my first full was Tulsa. So that first year I did Tulsa, Maryland, and then Western Australia fools. And then
you did three your first year.
There is no off button.
So then you were like, what if I just do them all back to back in 3 days instead?
But then the following year I did four. And then I qualified for world championship in Texas. And then I did Texas, Nice. And then I said, well, I got to go to Florida. I did Ironman Florida. And 2 weeks later, I did Ironman Cozumel, which was preparation for Ultraman Florida.
Okay. So you decided, so basically it sounds like you just like wanted like the crazier and crazier and crazier thing. And so ultimately you ended up with Ultraman.
Yes.
And to be clear, he's not just finishing these. He's doing these in 9 and 10 hours.
Well, he said he qualified for the world championship.
Yeah.
I feel like we still haven't told everyone what Ultraman is, to Sarah's point, for people who don't know what Ultraman is.
So Ultraman started in the Big Island. It's a 3-day event. And there's different ones. So there's Ultraman Florida, Ultraman Arizona, Ultraman Canada, and then there's different countries that hold them. So it's a 3-day event. It starts off with day one with a 10K swim, so a 6.4-mile swim, followed by a 90-mile bike ride. Day two is a 171-mile bike ride. Day three is a 52.4-mile run.
Right, which day was hardest?
The hardest day for me was probably day two, because you're on a bike for a long time, right? And so it's not no drafting, but you're just on a bike for a long time. So day one, you're swimming. So depending how strong you are in the swimmer, what you do in the pool does not count in open water. That's one thing I realized, right? I was doing 9Ks in the pool at 2:30 in 2 hours and 30 minutes. And when you get to open water, you add 30 more minutes to that just because of the winds, and waters and stuff like that. Yeah. But no, it was good.
And so Khadijah, how do you guys like know each other? Because of Varlo, or because he just like found you on the internet and got you to come crew for him?
His girlfriend is a friend of mine, and we first met at, I think it was North Carolina was the first time we met. And he's from Paterson, New Jersey. And that's where my father, when he came to this country, that's where my father went and went to high school. He went to Passaic Tech High School. And then we just started talking, and then I realized he was Hispanic and I was Hispanic, and you know, we just, you know, had a lot in common. And his girlfriend is she's a sweetie.
Was she also on the crew, or was this one of the situations?
Yeah, she was the crew chief. Was the crew chief. Yeah.
So it was the crew was handpicked. for everybody's strength, right? So everyone that we picked, and three of my were females because of what they brought, you know, Khadija bringing that nutrition, also being a coach, kind of saying, hey, this is how we need to fuel his body. My girlfriend's a triathlete, but she's also a paramedic. We had another young lady named Pam. She's an ultra swimmer, right? But she's also a physician, a nurse.
She is a physician.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Chris, who's a scientist, but he's more, that calm. But he's been doing triathlon, so he knew a little bit about medical. And then we had Tom is a mechanic. So we put different people into the group that had different strengths who showed in day one, day two, day three, kind of where they needed to be. So the crew was selected for the Ultraman. It was a total 47 athletes from all different parts of the world.
And everyone had to bring their own crew, right?
Yeah.
Four personnel, four is Mac. We were four to five personnel. Minimum of two, and you're your own SAG support. So, you know, you bring your own nutrition, your water. They have mechanics too in the course, but then they're spread out through 171 miles. So, you know, you're on your own. And yeah.
But Tom is an amazing bike mechanic. And then Ariel and I, literally, we have the same road bike and TT bike set up. So as soon as something goes wrong, I know exactly what's going to work and not what is going to work because his bike is set up
exactly. Happy coincidence.
Wow. Is that why you picked her, really? Just because she has the same bike as you?
Yeah. Khadija. But Khadija was real good. I tell you, man, ladies, I learned a lot from, like I said, I respect women in the triathlon sport just because of what they bring to the table. And I'm so glad how they separated the whole world championship. I think that was due. You know,
did you guys have I want the messy details. Like, did anybody yell at anybody?
Okay, so you want the dirtiness. What's crazy about Ultraman is that you have to trust people. So they got this phrase called Ohana. So you have to think about it. I have to trust someone to cite for me for 6 miles. So, you know, and like Sarah knows it. Like swimming. So you are basically saying, are you swimming the right way? Are you paddling the right way? So that's like first is that you have to trust a complete stranger, even though I know you, I can like your Facebook comments, but I haven't trained with this person, right? You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, like, can she hold 3.5 hours on the water? Like, I'm being honest, like, can you really do this? You know what I mean? Because I put the work in, right? But then you're trusting someone. So it was that doubt. Man, she proved me wrong. I ain't gonna lie to you. She set the conditions for me. On that same day for the ride. Go ahead.
I didn't know you could have a person like pace you on a swim.
Like a paddler.
I had for the Alligator Lighthouse. Okay. It's totally... totally self-supported difference with his was that he could actually touch the kayak with my swim. I couldn't, they had to throw stuff out to me and grab it. But yeah, that he had to be led by somebody.
Oh, on
the
a kayak.
Were so far away. You couldn't
see
those.
Everyone have to have a kayaker?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Does that get to be chaos out there?
Oh, absolutely. You had some folks, that were going nowhere. You had one person that got out the water at 6:30. Max time is 5:30. When that person got out of the water at 6:30, the number one guy finished his bike and swim.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
I'm thinking about like the one time I did a thing where like we had a boat and we had to like guide the swimmer. We lost our swimmer at one point. We eventually like, we were like circling and then we got a call from somebody who's like, I have your boat. We had to go to the other boat and pick him up. Geez, so I'm wondering if that happens to anybody.
But no, ugly. No, it
never
pick
Kelly to be a kayaker.
No, this was the swimmer's fault. Okay, he was wildly overconfident. That was the problem.
I would say it got very, to me, day two was, I was very frustrated. Was it day two with my crew? And it wasn't really nothing that they were doing wrong. It's just a long time being on a bike. You know what I mean? So, you know, like when you're doing this course on the flats is where you gain your speed. So when you see your crew and I go up to them and you stop and they're like, all right, what do you need? I'm like, dude, I can't even think straight on what do I need. Just tell me what to eat and tell me what to drink. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to pee when I stop. And now I'm trying to pee inside. You got Khadija asking me, okay, what else do you need? How are you feeling? I'm like, not feeling very good at all right now, right? So I'm like, what do we, you know, what are you asking me? Like, do I need electrolytes or do I need water? Just so, you know, when you come to a stop, like a pit stop, it's like literally like a F, you know, if when you're, right, when they ride in those fast cars, your crew, yeah, is really just taking off your bottles, regardless if you finished it or not.
Yeah.
And everything. So, yeah.
So we had a system. I told Pam, I said, don't talk to him because he's probably not going to yell at me. I give the auntie vibe. This is a Caribbean thing. I give the auntie vibe. So she grabs, I put in what I feel like he needs. Do you need anything else? And he gets ready to yell, but he doesn't do it. Nothing, Khadija. And he gives me the side eye like, you know, I want to curse you out, right?
yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, so it's really in your, you know, because you remember you're competing, you're trying to stay at the top five, top six, and you got some athletes. Like I had one guy that I look up to that I learned so much. He did a DECA, and which is 10 full Ironmans in 10 days. You know, no, yeah, 10 days. So you're competing with guys like that. You got Van Fletcher, who's the number two age grouper in the world, right? And number one. Yeah, he won. He did it 6 hours and 30 minutes. Like, all
wait, wait, wait. 6 hours and 30 minutes for what? For
day
the
first day.
Day one. First day.
Day one. Like, he was trying to break the course record, which is 21. He's like a D1 swimmer, and he's, man, all respect to him. But, like, yeah, so you're dealing with athletes like that. So you're like, and then the women, oh my God, they're monsters on the course. They're just like, nasty on the bike, like, you know, this is like respect where you just see him flying and you're like, damn, what you got in that bike? So yeah.
Did you yell at him, Khadija?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, she got upset.
Just patience. He's an insane athlete, but one thing that sometimes he lacks is patience. And I know at one point, I guess it was about mile 40. No, it was after even about 40, almost 45 or 46. I said, you're approaching, you're going to pass the next athlete. You're going to get them, but you got to be patient. You're going to get them.
This was on the run.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I got two or three more miles in me. So I started, I looked at my watch. I was like, we're going to stay about at 8:30 pace. So we're running 8:30 pace. Then he picks it up. I said, Ariel, you're running faster. And he just keeps going. I got down to, we were down into the sevens and I just let him go. And they were like running. I saw them running, trying to run and give him ice. He just blew right past them. Like, I got to catch this. He said, I got to see him. As soon as he said, I got to see him, I was like, you know what? Let him go. Let me run to the van. I'll be okay.
Yeah. It was crazy. Cause Khadija got upset with me. Cause you know, so you're running in miles 43. And you have to get your mind to not think about the amount of miles you're doing, right? So I'm like, I'm doing a 7 minute pace ish, and Khadija's running with like two water bottles, and I'm like, hey, control your breathing and stop running, like, you know, I'm like, control your breathing. You're running around here like you can't run. Control your breathing. She looks at me, she's like, what? I'm like, were you trying to coach me? I'm a coach. I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to say, is dude, control your breathing. Let's take stride by stride, because you got to get your mind off of what you do. So Khadija was running. Then my girlfriend was running next to me and she's breathing. I'm like, hey, open up your stride. Your cadence is off. Let's control your breathing. And they was like,
literally doing this.
He's like, your breathing is annoying me.
Yes, that's what it was.
I got in the van. I said, do you know what? I'm not pacing no more. I'm done.
Yeah. So it was.
We were so proud of him, though. It was. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It was. Yeah. And he was just. And he was. I knew he was in pain, but he was smiling because all the hours that he put in, he saw it just rolling out. And it feels, I know when you're hurting like that, but you know, you've put in the work, it's got to feel so good. We were overjoyed. We were exhausted, but we were overjoyed for him.
How much did you sleep, Khadija, in the 3 days?
I averaged about 4.5.
Ooh.
Because I took care of the cooking,
mm-hmm,
and making sure that he had enough calories. We had to get him off the fuel that he was using and onto another fuel because there was too much sugar in that fuel. And I knew he was going to crash and burn on the run if he used that fuel. And then I was continuing my own training. I would have a motto for each year. This year is Khadija showing up for Khadija. So even though I have to show up for the people that I love, I have to show up for myself. So I wasn't going to miss any workouts.
You did additional workouts.
Oh yeah.
Like after he went to sleep, you would like work out.
Yeah.
Well,
during the day, I caught her I caught her doing sit-ups and core. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are we doing? Yeah, it's Khadija's on a different level. Yeah, but they were, it was a good experience. I am going to the world championship.
I saw you got fifth overall for the guys and third in your age group. That's amazing.
He was third fastest runner. He was I mean he was knocking people. I mean, just that run was unbelievable. I can't explain that. It was so inspiring just to see. He just wouldn't give up. And I went to, he had taken off his shirt and he was like 2 miles out. And I ran up. I was like, can you slow down? I'm just trying to give you your shirt. He said, this ain't over yet. I got 2 more miles. He did not want that shirt. So he could see the
because, you know,
line.
So one of the things that I learned, right? So watching triathlon, watching the pros race, you realize the respect they give for one another, right? So if you look at when Gustav Iden and Sam Lelo was racing in the world championship, when Gustav and Blumenfeld was in the rear and they were approaching Sam Lelo, it was a competitive, hey man, good work. It was a tap on the back to his shoulder and said, hey, I got work to do, right? So, you know, they did that exchange. And then he kept moving, Gustav Iden. Now, Gustav Iden didn't look back. You know, he didn't look back to say where he's at, but he was making sure that as he turned the corner, he was like, hey, I'm going to make sure my competitor is decent, but he kept running his race. And those little tidbits is what I learned and observed the pros. So, Sarah, you're here. Continue on doing what you're doing. But you see and you learn from them, and that's how you behave on the course. Right. So when I passed that number four guy, I respected him, give him his, you know, tap on the back or shoulder, shake his hand. And then I'm going to eat. Right. And I'm not going to get complacent because it can be one thing where you get in these long courses. You still got to follow the rules of crossing the street, stop at a red light. You can't. It's not like the roads aren't closed off for the racer. Right. So you got to continue on. So, you know, because he's like, hey, here's your shirt. We're done. I'm like, no, we got work to do. And until I get to that finish line, we're competing, and we're, because at any time my leg can go out. So I just kept pushing right to where I can get to the finish line. But it was really about that respect, right? And especially at the award ceremony, you know, you give respect to each athlete and you tell them good job. But the work wasn't done, you know. And I'm not when this one person says, hey, you know, look at what I've done, you know. I'm very thankful for the triathlon sport. I'm very thankful for what it teaches me, especially the pros that we look up to them. And I think that sometimes they're not paid enough, or they're not given the respect for three disciplines. It ain't easy, man. I mean, that stuff is not easy to swim, bike, run at that level.
He was talking about the stoplights. Literally, it's not closed. So part of my duty as a pacer was to try to sprint ahead of him and hit the light so that he could get to the light
button.
So, or have them drop me off early, like be ahead of him, because we had to change the whole game. There's no way any of us were keeping up with him for more than like a mile or two. So they would drop me off early. I would jog to the light, bam, 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 bam. He would get there. Then I would run with him a little while, give him all his stuff and keep going.
Man, I thought at one point I was talking to Khadija at a red light and I had to use the bathroom. I think, like, man, I think I used the bathroom on myself. Not like a number one, but it was like a number two. I thought right? Because you're like, I'm running right at the light. And she's like, hey, how you doing? I said, Khadija, can you turn around real quick? She's like, why? Because I'm about to use the bathroom. She's like, oh, I don't mind. No, I said, I think I sharted on myself. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, what is going on? Because, you know, you're eating so much nutrition. You try to hold it 52 miles. You're running, you see people like in the woods, and they're just with their baby wipes and they just come out of nowhere. You're like, man, what are you doing? You dropping off a douche and a little ninja, whatever it is, man. But that was crazy.
We're related now.
Oh, yes. Good.
Yeah, I would imagine that's actually one of the hardest parts is just like you cannot train to take in that kind of caloric load. Like just your GI system's like, what are you trying to do? I mean, it's one thing covering the distance, which is insanely hard, I would imagine. But like to be able to get your body to take everything in, I can't even imagine that part of it. So well done to both of you getting that job done.
Getting that job done.
No. Mm-hmm. It got to a point. I was on scratch high carb, right? And it got to a point where my body said, because your body, and I didn't know this, right? Till you start doing this, your body will tell you no more, right? So my body told me no more scratch. Like it told me at a certain point, like no more nutrition. All I want is water. And then I was using, because, you know, I throughout the course, I was drinking beet juice. I mean, throughout my training, I was doing beet juice and high carbs and all this. And then for the race, they were like, hey, let's focus on high carbs. It got to a point my body was telling me, like, no more goo, no more, none. That's it. We're going straight water.
Have you ever done the thing where you, like, stand at an aid station, like an altar or something, and you just, like, look at everything and you're like, huh? What could I possibly, right? You're like trying to figure out what you could get down. You're like, plain baked potato it is.
Like nothing looks good.
Nothing looks good.
No, when you're doing the Ironman course, I tell you, I'm not going to say what course it was, but there was a course I was doing overseas and they had like oranges, bananas, and all you see like flies around it. And you're like, I'm not touching that. No, I'm not touching that. No. Oh, and then, like when I was at the World Championship for the women's and I was doing one of the aid station support. And the stuff that I seen on there, I would never, like, I would be like, we're not doing that. We're not doing it to these ladies. Because, you know, it's a bunch of volunteers and young kids and everything like that. Like, they take things with their hands and they're just putting it on there, the water. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Right? So I feel like I'm an adult. It's crazy the stuff that they do at some of the world championships.
I feel like we all get to the point where we do crazy. Like, this is why, you know how everyone gets sick after a race, right? But then you look back and you're like, oh, I picked up a salt tablet off the ground and ate it. That might be why, right? Like it
Yes, yes.
So gross.
And you're passing, like, I was drinking one of the guys' water bottles. So it's like crazy. It was like man love. Like, so, you know, we're running and then he had his SAG support running with him. So he takes a water, he puts it in his mouth. He's like, hey man, you want some water? I'm like, yeah, give it to me. No problem. And I'm taking it, right? So you're passing like literally water bottles, stuff that you wouldn't do, you know? And that's what's so cool about this, you know, Ohana, they call it Ohana for the Ultraman. It was like, we're literally trying to help everyone. So I'm running with this guy, Mark. He's done a bunch of ultras and he's teaching me, right? So we got everybody. So we start off like an 8-minute pace and he was like, we're going too fast. No, we started at a 6:37. And
that might
like,
be too fast, too fast. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're going too fast, right? So he was like, hey, let's bring it down to an 8-minute pace. So for 20 miles, this Mark is teaching me how to run an ultra. Like, you don't get that nowhere, right? So that's that respect. So he's teaching me, and then at mile 20 I'm like, hey dude, I'm about to change these shoes because these shoes suck. Not gonna put out the name of it, but they suck. And I was like, so I'm gonna tell, he's like, go ahead, change your shoes, right? So I changed my Sauconys and changed my Sauconys, right? I had to get it out because I was so pissed off with it.
You're
right?
You're so mad. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I was so mad with it. Right. And Khadija swears by them. We're gonna talk about that because I don't know if Saucony is gonna get my money anymore. But we was running with these Sauconys. Right. What are they? Which ones I run with? Saucony. What?
You started with the pros.
Yeah, I started with the pros, right? Because I wanted to be a pro. At age 46, you ain't gonna be a pro. So we're gonna go ahead and run with the endorphins, right? We're gonna run with the next ones. What's the other ones beneath?
Nice. Okay.
The Triumphs?
The speed
threes. I think those are a better choice. You can't run on carbon plate shoes for that long.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
for that so long.
I switched shoes. So then at mile 20, he goes to me. He was like, hey, dude, run your race. He was like, don't worry about me. Run your race. So I looked at him. I'm like, are you sure? So he was like, yeah, just catch the dude in front of us. I'm like, all right, thank you. You know, and then he let me go. But I felt like it felt like Mr. Miyagi and Daniel's son. But it was that respect I had with him because, you know, I'm a ranger outside of us being a special forces guy. And is that the mindset is you never leave a buddy behind. Right. Right. So I knew that I had to pull this guy that I just met, you know, I'm like, I got to get him to the finish line. So he goes, what you waiting on? I'm like, I'm getting you to the finish line with me. So he was like, no, man, go ahead and run your race. So it wasn't until me getting that North and South, Khadijah was running me. And I'm like, where's Mark at? She was like, he's behind you. And I stopped and I started walking and I let him caught up to me. I'm like, hey, dude, how you feel? Because, you know, at a 52 mile, you can literally walk and it ain't going to hurt you, right? Because you're going to make up your time. So I walked and he was like, double A, don't wait on me. He was like, run your race. And I felt like he gave me that North and South to say, hey, son, go ahead on and run your race. And I just met this guy. And then I was like, well, it's time to do some work. And then
And you could tell the guy knew what he was doing. I mean, his hips were nice and steady. I mean, he was just, his cadence, it was like a metronome. There wasn't, a lot of the people, when they got tired, you could see their hips were dropping and they were leaning over. I mean, he was marching like a soldier the whole time. And every time he got to a steep hill, he power walked it up, took off. I mean, it was just, it was like clockwork.
So here's the question. Khadijah, mm-hmm. Do you want to do one now?
No.
All right.
Physically, I know I could do one. I know how I am. I've probably done about 70 triathlons. I DNF'd on one, and that one that I did, I passed out. Mm-hmm. And then I went back 2 years later just to make sure the course knew it didn't beat me. So I know if I got on the line, I would finish one, but I don't have a why like his. I just, that is the kind of race you just have to, I always tell people endurance athletes to me are always running to something or from something. I mean, that's a big lion behind you. I just don't have that big of a why.
Yeah. So during the race, how often did you think about that why? Because I'd imagine you go through some low points over the course of the few days.
So my terrain is dictated my why. So it's when I said by that is, in the swim, you swim and like you ain't got a choice to think about nothing. You know what I mean? Like you got to keep moving. But there was a part in this course, so it was like a 10 mile running on sand. So it's not pavement, it's a 10 mile sand, right? So it's meant to break the athlete down. So during there, it reminded me of Afghanistan and the sand and the dirt, right? So that was saying to me, you're running for Bob. You're running for the boys that can't run. So that terrain and that environment put me into it's game time, right? So I would use the terrain that I was given. So when I would walk up the thing, we would put on a rucksack, you know, ruck marching up a hill. My mind would go to, okay, move your hips like you're ruck marching. When you're running in the sand, remember those people that can't. So I took that. When you're cycling, I was like, that right there, you just cycle. You're not really thinking about your why in your cycling because you're thinking about navigation and, you know, staying correct in aero position. But more in your runtime is where you're being more, I think it's more mentally and physically. Yeah.
You actually faster in that sand part too.
Yep. Yep. And that's kind of where and that's because the same, you know, so you just, it takes you back, you know, with PTSD, they got little moments, you got your little thing. So that moment was my, hey, man, it's time to run, right? It's time to put your game on, because that to me, the sand, the 10 mile sand loop was where I had to make up time. So I said to Khadijah, you know, and I told my girlfriend, I said, they're not going to forget me on this course. Right. So I told myself, I'm like, they're not going to forget my name in this course and my why in Varlo. Right. Yeah. Shout out to Varlo. No, that's not a commercial. Right. But no.
So there were some nice pictures out there, too, because his girlfriend got out and ran with him. She could tell that he was and it was some really good pictures out there, too. And that's when he started smiling. I couldn't believe it. I was just
for the pictures. He started smiling for the pictures.
No, I mean, he didn't even know. He did the gentleman who was in charge of like all the social media and stuff, like Chris. He was really discreet about the pictures. He took pictures of me cooking. I didn't even know he was taking the pictures, but it was like he was in another world. He was just smiling. And when Jamie jumped out of the car, started running with him, he was like, ah, she's here. But check it out.
I'm going to say this. Our crew. Now, there was some guys who brought in pros for their crews. Right. So you had the number one guy brought Tommy. I don't know if you guys know Tom. What's Tommy?
Yeah. Katie's husband.
Katie's husband, right, Tommy. Yeah.
And then is that Ferris?
So he was pacing Van. Then you had Van's kayaker was, I think, another Olympian, another pro. Right. So that was that. Yeah. So that was that crew there. Right. So then the next guy, which was Stephen Keller, he was the number two guy for the champion for World Ultraman World Championship. And he also had an Olympian pacer, if I'm not mistaken. So it was like, you know, so they bring the crew is what sets you up. Right. So my crew was
not Olympians, best, is what you're saying.
No, but it was my crew. It was my crew. It was, you know, it was the diverse crew. Right. Right. KD. So we came out there and we selected a crew that everybody would be like, man, who are these folks up here? Right. So he showed up and it was like they just started making it happen. Right. Because the point is that each one of my crews has done an Ironman, has done something. Mm-hmm. And they just helped me to get to the finish line. Like I said, we ain't had no pros on the list. Right. It was us. Right. So but it was cool.
We're like the Bad News Bears of triathlon.
The Bad News Bears of triathlon. Great. So here's a question before we go to break, because we gotta go to commercial break. Jocelyn, Sarah, does this make you want to do one or crew one?
I would say crew one over November.
Oh, yes. Don't put this on this media, because if we're serious, well, let's see. For you, the world championship will be in Nice. Yes. At that time frame, you come back. It'll be Thanksgiving weekend.
There you go.
Thanksgiving weekend.
We get Sarah to commit to all kinds of things.
I need a good runner.
We get her to commit to all kinds of things. There you go, run pace.
Sarah can hold a 7-minute pace a lot longer than I can.
Not for 15 miles.
Jocelyn?
I do not want to swim a 10K. I don't even want to swim a 4K. So I would crew one before I would want to do one. Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
I think I would take doing one. Crewing sounds like people yell at you all the time.
Maybe you should do it and we'll crew you.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we obviously got to get to the rest of our controversies and news. Now that we've heard all about Ultraman, after we take a little break.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used Try Hard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. Try Hard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of Try Hard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the Try Hard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. Okay, since we got the update on Ultraman, I feel like we have to get updates on other things that we've talked about, right? Sarah, you had an update for us on last week's person who was told they could break the course record, but not the women's course record.
Yeah, so basically, your suggestion was to contact the local media and put them on it. And instead, because this is a USATF regional event, what ended up happening was that they contacted USATF, like, hey, they are just going to say 14:45 is reasonable time for either the women or men to break to get the course record bonus. And so USATF's on it.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that was a quick update. Not that controversial.
Not controversial.
No media. Right now, but you know.
No we'll shaming see what happens. Publicly.
No That's public our, shaming.
No public
yeah.
shaming.
Internal shaming.
Internal shaming. I feel like you can go, like, right? You can either privately shame or publicly shame. Those are your options.
Yeah. And I feel like that is the proper response for the governing body to be like, that doesn't fly.
Our other update that Jocelyn wants an update on is the tri bikes, which I do feel like public shaming worked in that case.
Yes.
Do you want to update us?
So I only realized that there was like an update we hadn't talked about because I was at a mom's night out on Friday and one of my girlfriends, her dad is an avid triathlete and he got his bike back. So he had raced in Pontevedra. And I was laughing so hard because my other friend who was also there, she's coached by him. And she was like, he said it was just his backup bike. Like, he's not too worried. It was just his backup bike.
His backup bike.
So in my mind, for some reason, I thought it was like this, like, you know, old road bike. Because it was, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so then his daughter like showed me the picture and it's this Cervelo P5 with like these fancy zip race wheels. And I was like, oh my God, that's his backup bike. And she's like, yeah, he says it has like a lot of sentimental value. And I was like, yeah, it's got a lot of monetary value too.
Sure. But like the way that they ultimately got their bikes back was because, and did we talk about, I thought we had talked about this. Did we not talk about this?
We talked about how it would be a good idea.
Right. So somebody contacted, and do you guys all have this? Here in the in the Bay Area, we have this segment on the NBC News where they go like, NBC investigates. It's called like, Don't Get Screwed or something like that, right? Like, and you call them up and say, I mean, that's a better name. But like, you call them up because you say like, my auto shop, like, wrecked my car, right? Like, so somebody, it's one of the guys here who has like a $5,000 backup bike, contacted NBC Investigates and they did this segment on the local news. And like when they started contacting around, that's when, oh, look, Travelers Insurance is going to cover it. Uh-huh.
So they did not have to pay anything extra out of pocket after I think a handful of them had paid $2,000 each to to get their bike back.
It was a really funny segment though, guys, because they had to spend like 2 minutes explaining like what the fuck this is, right? Like, why did people give their bikes to somebody to put
you
on a chip?
You gave it to them anyway.
Well, I'm especially imagining the typical demographics who watch local news at like, Yeah, I'm guessing this is not, you know, prime time local news either. This is like a...
No, this is on the prime... This is NBC Investigates on the 7 p.m. news.
Seriously?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I saw the article about it, and they did. They called it like a bike hostage situation, which is... I'm sure they ripped off of us.
Is Tri-Bike Transport still in business?
I mean, what does in business mean?
Like, is their website still up?
So they're out of North Carolina.
Okay.
And I work for a bike store, right? Okay. Part time. And they used to drop off their bikes here.
Okay.
And so I know a little bit about them, but I'll stay quiet. Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't need to stay quiet. If they're out of business. You already shamed Saucony.
Everything I knew.
So they got to a point. So I think what was the last race that they were they could support? Was it Arizona?
It was Arizona or Cozumel maybe.
Yeah. Right. Arizona, so they had folks drop off their bikes at our store who were like wondering, like, hey, what am I going to do next? So we had dozens of bikes just sitting there because they couldn't get picked up. And now there's folks here trying to figure out how they're going to get their bikes to Texas. So like,
okay.
Get a bike box.
I bet you could take it apart for them at the bike store if they paid you. You know, compensate you for your time. I feel like this is where, like, I don't feel like people have thought this all the way. Like,
yeah,
just take it apart.
I think it's really what they're willing to pay. They're willing to pay $500 to me for each bike with a minimum of 4 bikes, so I can take them down to Texas and have them.
Oh,
that's what I was gonna say. This is a great
aerial bike transport.
Yeah. So I thought about it. So I'm doing Lake Placid. So I'm like, I can do.
Everyone's
Texas.
Doing Placid.
Who's doing Placid?
We're all doing Placid.
I'm not.
Everybody on the podcast is doing Placid.
It's the 25 year anniversary. Come on now. Like, that's classic. And there's like only like 2 men slots for Kona. So I don't think it's going to happen this year. But at the end of the day, going to Lake Placid, yes. And St. George. Shout out to St. George.
So that's you're doing Texas too, so you could drive.
No,
the bike
no. I'm just going there to support because
just going there to make money off of transporting bicycles.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That'll pay for the trip.
There you
go. Yeah. No. St. George. I think some people are afraid of climbing, and right. So I think it's, you know, you got to do the tough courses to learn. I think that's what Nice taught me. So
I feel like you should tell us about Nice because we all want to go to Nice this year.
Yeah, that's why we're all doing Placid. Well, it's not the only reason. Also, so that we can have, you know, a podcast reunion.
No. So Nice is interesting. So I did it on a tri bike.
Oh, see, I'm thinking about doing it on a road bike. I think I might do it on a road bike.
It's really the descending. So you got look at Sam. He did it in 4:30. You look at certain individuals, you got Detlef who did it in 4:35, then you got Rudy. So it's the hard part is descending on your road, on your tri bike. That's the hard part. Going up, you're going to go up. Some people had pros had the disc wheels versus non-disc wheel. I don't think, you know, that's going to, you know, heaviness
it's
versus not.
Yeah.
It's the descending part. That's where it broke me down.
You know what Magnus had though? He had a dropper post.
Oh,
like mountain biking. Yeah.
30%. That is smart.
On his time trial bike, which is kind of crazy. Sarah's like, no.
What does that do? Can you explain that?
It drops you down lower, so you're lower center of gravity, so that you can descend better, faster.
That sounds so sketchy.
Then wouldn't it feel too low?
Well, I think then you just descend. It's like instead of sitting on your top tube, basically.
So you're not pedaling?
No. I mean, like, they pedaled some, but, like, they were taking that descent. Fast, like they were.
Some dirty gossip since you guys like that. I believe there was 30 since
yes,
there was 30, there was 30 accidents that they didn't report. So either people coming off of the mountain hitting a wall. So there were 30 medevacs or 30 incidences coming.
I was there and I was like trying, like asking how many, and they said that there were no like. Serious, no, like overnight, you know what I mean? Like, people, there were broken. I saw a guy break his collarbone, like in front of the hotel. But, like, that guy, that poor guy, like all these descents, all these things, and he like runs straight into a barricade on the flat part in front of a hotel.
Oh, that's not funny.
That's not funny, but but they said there were no serious, like, you know, like nobody stayed in a hospital overnight. basically.
But there was some, there's people running into walls, falling out of cliffs. And it was some, it was the toughest route, 8,000 feet. I mean, it's doable. I want to go back. So I thought about doing California, you know, because everybody, the Kona, give it all the respect, you know, it is, but it's just a different course. Like the run course at in Hawaii, the Energy Lab is harder than Nice, right? You got to give respect to the Energy Lab, the heat. Now the cycling is harder in Nice than the one in Kona. Right. The one, the swim portion, to me, it's a more technical in France than the one in Kona, because in Kona, it's just out and back, versus the one in Nice, it's more of like an inverted M, an Ironman. So you're turning, and you're swimming, you know what I mean? So that's the difference. So you're doing more, to me, it's more technical because you're doing more of the turns versus out and back.
When we all do it, guys, and we all do amazing, then we'll come back with our tips. So,
yeah,
but we're gonna make a pact not to get medevaced.
No medevac. I also I was excited. At something, Jocelyn. I was like at some work and whatever. Like I'm gonna have to work, and so I was like, oh well, Jocelyn says I have to finish because we have to have a higher finish rate than the med. Uh-huh. So I feel like I'm just gonna be out there like, well, gotta finish.
Nice is personal for me. I'm excited about getting to Nice. It's definitely personal.
Here is my news update from today, though, that I want to ask you guys about. Okay, so the New York Triathlon is canceled for this year. And I heard this yesterday. Like, I heard this gossip yesterday because, like, word is making sense. But then, apparently email went out to athletes today. And here's what I heard. So Super League, which is going to be Super Tri.
What?
Yeah, Super Try is going to be their new name. Okay. Super Try. I'm convinced the same guy who sold the PTO T100 sold them Super Try. Like, same consultant charged them like a group rate. But so Super Try bought New York because when they bought Chicago, it was like a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city would only give them July 22nd for this summer. And they were like, July, like, we can't fucking do New York in July. Like, that's when they have all the weather issues every year is in July. And they have
season.
And they have Legacy that same weekend now, Super Try.
The Long Beach race.
The Long Beach one.
Yeah.
And so they were gonna lose like $1 million on the race. And so they were just like, we cannot do it that weekend. And there were still like 200 or 300 deferrals or something like that.
Whoa.
From like the past 4 years. They bought a lemon, is what I'm saying. New York was a lemon.
Wait, two out of three were lemons. Yeah, Malibu.
Oh, yeah. Malibu.
Oh, wow. And they changed it to a whack name.
Super Try.
Super Try.
Oh, my God. You guys better are killing
come with
me.
A fun theme song if it's going to be called Super Try.
I just feel, I mean, I actually, like, I think whatever, like, they're trying to figure out the US market and like what they are going to roll out, like, could be cool, because like the US market like needs something, you know what I mean, like, you need like short course. But I just, like, New York was such a good race. I hope they can like make it work next year or something, like bring it back.
Ooh, so it's not canceled indefinitely. It's just,
no,
you don't
just
know that
this summer.
You don't know that, yeah, though.
Well, we'll see. So Sarah, you did it, right?
Yeah, I did it once. Yeah. Like way back in the day. I mean, just being able to race in a major city is always cool. Yeah.
But I think that's also what makes it cost, like, why it loses money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. It was like a pain in the fucking ass, I think.
Well, I mean, just cities in general, it's hard to have a race, but then US cities make it incredibly hard.
Like when they try to do Ironman New York City, but it was really in New Jersey, but it was still the most expensive Ironman.
But it was really New Jersey.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, so you know how I am 100% sure that the T100 race is going to be in San Francisco with Alcatraz. So there are like signs up now that like the permit, because like because San Francisco has so many laws, right? Like when you change a course and they're going to have a new day, they have to put signs up to notify the neighborhood to like trigger like a permitting process. They have to be notified X number of hours before like a, right? You know what I mean? So there are like signs up right now. They don't say T100. They say like event on X day.
What
but
day?
I just, June 9th, it's Alcatraz. But I was just
Alcatraz
like,
Alcatraz day.
I was just like, I can imagine these like guys sitting around in London, like, are like, San Francisco supervisor meeting? What? Like, what is happening? They like don't understand.
Yeah, it's wild how unbelievably hard it is to host a race in U.S. cities.
Have you done? Well, have you tried? Is this
no?
Like,
but I mean, because other cities internationally, like, they become sponsors of the event, and all of the red tape magically disappears. But we have to keep. I mean, you can speak to this better than I can. We have to keep athletic events completely separate. Like, a city cannot sponsor an athletic event. Yeah. So it's just a different process.
But apparently, like, when I was in Paris for the test event this summer, they were also having like a big World Tri meeting, like set like a, because everybody was there, you know, like all the official B people. And apparently, like, cities are like really losing money on World Tri events these days, like everywhere. And so they like, nobody wants to host one anymore except for like Abu Dhabi. Yeah, and it's like when you remember when the one was in Chicago, that like the World Tri final, yeah, which was awesome. Apparently, mm-hmm, they lost like a couple $1 million.
Like, yikes!
There's just a lot of sporting, yeah, events in Doha. You can go to fly to Doha.
That's why, like, World Triathlon's like trying to convince everyone, like, you should host a race, and everyone's like, we don't want to host a race, except for Abu Dhabi. Wow. And like Doha, and yeah, like, so it's a mess. Yeah. It's a mess, guys. Anyway, I have to go soon, so I feel like we had to finish with, like, Sarah's random question.
Oh, I didn't really have a random question.
You don't really have a random question this week?
No, I have nothing.
Well, here's my question then, because so on the theme of Ultraman, and I ran 4 hours this weekend, and I was like, whoa. I was like, how does anybody run further? But I also, like, again, like, I was keeping down my nutrition, but by the end, I also was, like, sick of it, right? What do you think you could eat for like 24 hours straight? Like, only eat, if you only had to eat one thing.
Mangoes. All things mango.
Ice cream.
Do you just eat ice cream? Just straight?
Would it have to be the same flavor?
Yeah, maybe. What flavor?
So am I exercising during this?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I feel like it's a different food.
Okay, what would it be? Both answers.
I'm just going to say bread. Or rice.
Are you serious, Sarah? Straight bread?
I feel like I'd be just so bloated bread if I just ate bread all day.
That makes sense. I feel like I would want to, I feel like you guys are going sweet. I would want to go like semi-salty or like plain. Yeah, like my first instinct is like potato chips.
Okay. But
then like that would be a lot, I feel like.
All right, Ariel, what's your answer?
I can eat spaghetti 24/7, so I can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner spaghetti.
Wow.
Like, I can. I mean, I'm good with spaghetti. My nutrition is horrible. I mean, Khadija will tell you, like, Katie, like, dude, why are you eating that? Like, I'm on the bike and I'm thinking about Burger King and I don't even eat Burger King. You know what I mean? Like, it's the most craziest thing. So,
but that's what happens. Yeah. That's why I'm like, what could you eat? Oh, I'm changing my answer, guys.
He came in and I'm cooking tuna steaks and angel hair pasta for dinner. And he sticks his hand in a bag of Doritos. And I was like, put that down.
Yeah, but I'm just, that's what you want.
Chips, right, and I'm salsa. Changing. Chips, yeah, and
chips
salsa.
And salsa. There you go. I'm changing my answer, guys. Wait. Pre-peeled hard-boiled eggs. There you go.
Ooh, oh, all day.
And the smell of the room that you are in.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I feel like spaghetti is the most reasonable answer because you could just like slurp it down too as you're moving. Like, you don't even really need to do anything. Just, you know.
Puree mangoes. You can eat them warm. You can eat them cold. You can freeze them if it gets hot and then eat mango chunks.
Okay.
Not too sweet.
Kinesia, all sour. That fiber. Fiber. No, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. I need a couple of pit stops for sure.
All right, on that note.
Mangoes and beets.
Well, especially now that you and Ariel are that much closer. You know, those of us who don't want that, like, okay, I'm glad that you feel that close to each other. Anyway, thank you for joining us for our ride. We hope it's not the last time. We look forward to hearing how it goes in November and seeing you in Lake Placid.
Awesome, and look forward to seeing you in Hawaii in November, so I'll be reaching back out to you. Don't trust me. This ain't going nowhere. We're gonna make history.
I love it. Hey, thanks for listening to If We're Writing, and check in next week with us. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.